Call to order the San Salto County Board of Supervisors meeting. Today is December 11, 2012. The time is 9 o'clock a.m. Everybody please rise for the flag salute. We're going to start this meeting with public comment period. This is a time where anybody can address this Board of Supervisors on any item that is not on today's agenda within our purview. Anybody who wishes to make public comment, please come forward to state your name for the record.
Christopher Cosner. Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, Board of Supervisors. We're here today to draw your attention to RFP 1267 to operate concessions at Woodward Reservoir. It is a lot better than RFP 1217, on which we raised $50,000 to execute. Our bid was never evaluated and rejected outright for lack of financial preparedness, though we were the only bidder. This was actually fortunate because $50,000 is probably not enough, in fact, to give the county everything it requested. Now there's this new RFP, but it's still asking for the same things, and we're afraid of a repeat of last time with no services being offered in the park next summer. So the lake is extremely seasonal, and the fact of the matter is that though renting a marina at Woodward Reservoir offers an attractive lifestyle, it will only provide a modest annual income for the concessionaire, and it needs to be cheaper. We are compelled to protest the RFP for the following reasons. One, it seems to say that the concessionaire would be liable for hazardous waste present prior to the contract. There used to be a gas station at the old marina, and we're afraid even to trench for new electrical lines because of this. Two, it requests a permanent structure to be added, but the cheapest of these is still too costly to install and insure while abandoned in the winter. The concessionaire is also supposed to remove all assets at the end of the contract, and it's pricey to do that. Three, the RFP prohibits operation of concessions 1 hour past dark. We want to sell beer until 2 a.m. Four, it asserts that someone unspecified besides the concessionaire will dictate the prices and inventory of the concession. Five, it says that someone, again unspecified, besides the concessionaire must approve or decline each new employee in writing prior to hiring them. And six, finally, as you know, the county seems to have a big Tatsumi sign on its chest, and operating in the park hangs the same sign around our neck too. The old marina was demolished as a safety risk, but that hasn't stopped at least one lawsuit from originating in the proposed concession area since then. The area is already insured by the county, and we want to be named additional insured for the concession area, not the other way around, or primary only for the risks associated with the business that were not present prior to the business operating. So we're submitting a plan directly to you and to GSA via the formal bid process, offering what we can accomplish within our means and within the few short seasons that the contract will be in effect. I hope you take the time to read it and can see that a business could be viable here if only it's allowed to be small enough. Thank you for your consideration.
Very good. And Chris, I appreciate all your interest in doing this. In fact, this is the reason we're getting an RFP is because of your work on that. We do have a opportunity to ask questions through the bidding process, through the RFP process, and some of those could be answered that way. But absolutely, I want to thank you for being part of the process and hope to get some concessions out there at Woodward. So thank you. Any other public comment? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and Mr. Goring. Sorry about that. Just want to let you know and make sure you all know you're invited. I know some of the emails didn't quite go through, but Stanislaus County Farm Bureau will be hosting an open house for our members and for other people that we work with and you and your staff. We want to make sure you're more than invited. That'll be this Thursday from 3 to 6:30 p.m. at our office at 1201L. So come join us for a little Christmas cheer, we hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom Orvis, Stanislaus Farm Bureau.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning.
I can't top that one. yeah, no Christmas cheer.
I wanted to address one thing here about annexation. First of all, is the Goodwin report back, you know, with, in your hands?
It is not.
No, okay. Okay. Well, when it does come in, have you folks given any thought to what you would exchange with or want from City of Modesto in exchange for the annexation of the town of Salida?
Jim, once we get that report back, then we're going to look at all that and we'll start all those conversations, but we haven't got there until we get that report.
Yeah.
To even know what the numbers are.
Yeah. Okay. I asked one of the gentlemen here this morning about the other important annexations there, Costco, Lowe's, Safe Mart, and Kaiser Hospital and surrounding land. Unfortunately, Slide has lost that property now, and as you know, and I'm wondering if that makes Salida, I guess, less of a an advantage in this annexation process, since they've lost the you know, those businesses over there that would have a good tax base. So I'm just thinking that Salida doesn't have a whole lot of value right now because of that annexation, and I just want to find out if you consider Salida a burden now that they've lost that property in the annexation process.
Yeah, like we've been talking about at these MAC meetings, you know, it's not that Salida is a burden, we're actually just trying to figure out a way to make, to provide better services to Salida. So, again, we still have a lot of information we need to get before we can, you know, have better answers for everybody to these questions. But
You do understand, though, that Salida's lost a lot of value because of the previous annexations.
Right. And, you know, one of the things even that the argument can be made that, not to advocate for one for annexation or not, but just to say, well, Salida lost those Costco and those things in years past. If Salida were to become part of Modesto, it actually would then be able to benefit from those things because those tax revenues then would be part, they would be part of Salida again because they would be part of Modesto. So then, yes, Salida would be able to benefit. They would get those back, and as there's another way to look at it. Again, not pushing one way or another, but just there's just a lot of information that we need to get out there, and we're working on that.
Well, the only thing I can see is the advantage is Marsh is going to give us an arch over...
Salida will have its own arch then.
that ain't much. Anyway, thanks for your time, and I hope you have considered that real in depth.
And, sir, can we get your name for the record?
Jim Bonetti.
Great.
From Salida.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Anybody else wish to address this board under public comment this morning? Seeing none, we'll move to consent calendar. A consent calendar consists of items marked with an asterisk on the agenda. I've had a request to pull item B4 and item D1. D1 for a separate vote and B4 to be heard. Any other items that this Board of Supervisors wishes to pull? Is there any public comment on consent calendars less item B4 or D1? So at this point, I'll ask for action on consent less B4 and D1.
Make a motion to approve.
Second. A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously. I'll move to D1 quickly, so I think that would be easy. County Council?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Item D1 is requested to be voted on separately to allow Supervisor Withrow to acknowledge a conflict of interest and to recuse himself from participation. This item involves approving Williamson Act contracts.
Beg your pardon?
No. Oh. Involves approving Williamson Act contracts, and Supervisor Withrow's spouse holds an interest in one of those contracts being approved or being considered for approval. And pursuant to Government Code Section 1091, this is considered a remote interest, and the interest must be disclosed, noted in the agency record, and Supervisor Withrow must then recuse himself from participating. So with him being absent and recused from the dais, it's appropriate now to consider that particular item.
Very good. Is there any public comment on item D1? Seeing none, any comment?
Motion to approve.
There's a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0. And as Supervisor Withrow comes back in, we jump to item B4, approval of 3-year agricultural lease with JKB Development for county-owned property adjacent to Fink Road landfill.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, board members, CEO Nino, and County Council Doring. Jamie Agers, representing the Department of Environmental Resources. The item before you today is to consider approving a 3-year agricultural lease with JKB Development for county-owned property adjacent to the Fink Road landfill. The background on this item is that in September of 2009, the county put out an RFQ for a long-term ground lease for approximately 1,700 acres of land adjacent to the Fink Road landfill. In December of 2009, the county issued a 12-month exclusive right to negotiate agreement to JKB Development for a long-term farming operation and potential solar farm. At that time, the Environmental Resources Director was also authorized to negotiate and contract with M.A. Garcia AgriLabor to manage the farm. 1 year later, in December 2010, a 1-year extension on the exclusive right to negotiate agreement was issued to JKB, and they took over the farming operation at that time. In December a year ago, a second 1-year extension was issued on the exclusive right to negotiate agreement. At this time, staff is recommending separating the farm lease from the exclusive right to negotiate agreement to provide more continuity to the farming operation, largely due to the difficulty the December expiration date has placed on securing a dryland farm lease each year. In that farming operation, they need to plant in the fall, and with the uncertainty as to the annual extension in December each year, it has made this process challenging. That being said, staff recommends a 3-year agreement from December 2012 through December 2015 with 2 1-year possible extensions. If JKB separately enters into a long-term exclusive right to negotiate agreement, they would be in a more favorable position to secure a power purchase agreement on the solar farm. Staff is currently working with JKB to finalize this along with a land option and lease agreement. At the end of the second year of farming, JKB would be required to notify the county in writing of their extension to continue, and if not, this would put the county in a good position to put the acreage back out to an RFP. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thanks, Jamie. So I just wanted to pull this just to get a little bit more details on the lease. I mean, it seems like a sweet deal when I look at the lease. I know at the time, back in 2009 when this thing was put together, it was kind of the water crisis that was going on, and maybe it wasn't, but then. So the age of the trees, how old are those trees?
The oldest trees were planted in 1993 and the newest in 1997. And so there's kind of a range. Some were planted in 95.
Okay, so and it's 324 acres, is that right, of...
We took out 12 acres last year, so there's about 333 acres remaining.
Okay. Okay, so from 90, some of the trees are 93, and you said the other year?
97 are the youngest trees, so some of them will be 20 years old in the coming year.
Okay. Okay, and then who, the trees were originally, and the irrigation system, who paid for that? Who planted the trees? Who put the irrigation system in originally? Was that the previous... Did we buy that land with the trees on it?
Okay, now you're stretching beyond.
Okay, sorry, I think maybe Jim remembers this.
That's right, the county purchased that from Fred Vogel years back. The orchard was planted. Part of the irrigation system was in, and then the person that was leasing it, the Gordon Lentz and Lent Burden Farm, revamped the sprinkler system and updated it at their own expense.
Okay. So, I mean, I didn't realize that the trees, they actually are pretty old at this point, it sounds like, the lion's share. I mean, you don't know how much of, what percentage of it was planted in 93 versus 97. I mean, it was just...
I can share with you some numbers. Let's see. I would say the lion's share of it was planted between 93 and 95 and 96.
Okay.
The newest 85 acres of Butte Padres were planted in 97.
Okay. And this land, we keep this for future expansion of the landfill, I guess is what's going on here.
Yeah, it should last us about 1,000 years.
Expansion and mitigation area is
okay. Okay. Okay, yeah. Seeing the age of the trees, and I guess that's probably fine. There's probably not that much life left in that orchard. But I'm actually looking at the land. It seems like a deal, especially with the price of almonds right now and the way things are going. But we're just talking about 3 more years here in this agreement here. So
3 with the potential for 5.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. That's good. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
I have to say that the 20% lease is pretty standard, as far as I know.
But
it's not easy to rent out something like that because from year to year, you don't know what the water situation is going to be, and it fluctuates a lot. So if you have row crops, you could not plant, but when you got an orchard, you don't get the water. Every crop is impacted sometimes for a few years.
Yeah, believe me, I've lived that. I know that works.
Yeah. So I think this lease is good for everybody involved.
Okay.
Any questions or comments from the public members? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for action.
Okay, make a motion, we approve.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Aye.
Thanks, Jamie.
Okay, now we'll move to item B7, approval to enter in a master agreement with Tetra Tech Bass for professional design services in the Gear Road landfill for environmental monitoring, testing, and reporting services.
Okay, we get set up here. There we go. Okay, the item before you now is the consideration of awarding a master agreement to Tetra Tech BAS. Jamie Yeagers, Interim Director for the Department of Environmental Resources. The background on this item is that Department of Environmental Resources staff do perform routine maintenance at the Gear Road landfill. However, for this closed site, outside services and expertise are needed for environmental monitoring, testing, and reporting. In concert with GSA purchasing, a competitive procurement process was begun back in May so as to complete this process by the year's end. 4 proposals were received for the Gear Road site, and the scoring criteria were as follows. Professional qualifications, 15 points. Past involvement with similar projects, also 15 points. And a very important category next, which was success with sites undergoing significant enforcement action, and for that, 25 points, and lastly, pricing, 20 points. 3 evaluators reviewed and analyzed the proposals. Those were 2 members from DER, plus a representative from the San Joaquin County Public Works Department. Tetra Tech BAS was 1 of 2 existing service providers, and they were the highest scoring proposer. The results were as follows. Tetra Tech BAS, 265 points. SCS Engineers, also an existing provider, 230 points. CH2M Hill, 223 points. And Hershey Environmental, 142 points. We first entered into a master agreement with Tetra Tech back in August of 2011 for services specific to the landfill gas system only, and that was through June of 2012. In May 2012, that contract was amended to provide additional funds for the following: upgrades to the landfill gas system, oversight associated with those repairs, additional funds for non-routine and emergency services, analytical services regarding the relationship between landfill gas and groundwater, and lastly, extra VADOS zone well monitoring that was requested by the Water Quality Control Board. Funding for the services at Gear Road comes from pledged revenues from Fink Road Landfill as per an agreement between the county and the State Department of Resources, Recycling, and Recovery, which we commonly call CalRecycle. We make two transfers annually to the Gear Road Closure Fund, totaling approximately $721,000. Now, as you know, we've been under a cease and desist order since April of 2011, and Tetra Tech BAS has been instrumental in assisting with the requirements associated with the cease and desist order. We have two remaining compliance items in that order that must be submitted by December 30th, and those are the groundwater plume investigation report. And the main components of that report are several new wells which had to be installed. Those are all completed and, in fact, already reported on. We had to define the lateral and vertical extent of the plume and complete a downstream survey of wells that were within a one-mile radius, and that work has also already been completed and reported on. And the last report is called the Report of Waste Discharge, and in that report, we have to propose new water quality protection standards. We have to discuss the effectiveness of our existing systems, and we have to evaluate whether those systems need to be expanded. And we also have to identify whether we think additional monitoring wells are needed. The current status of these two reports is they're both in draft form, sitting in my email electronic in-basket as we speak. I have a conference call with our consultants all morning long on Thursday to review those reports in detail, but we are very much on track to submitting them. Actually, our target date is the 28th because the 30th falls on a weekend. And bringing us to our staff recommendation, staff has successfully worked with Tetra Tech BAS for the past 2 years, initially as an expert to assist the county in the cease and desist order hearing process, and over the past 17 months as a direct provider of services. And given that, we recommend that you approve the master agreement with Tetra Tech for professional environmental monitoring, testing, and reporting services. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions from board supervisors? Seeing none, I'll ask if there's any public comment on this item. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board of supervisors. Any further move? I have a motion by Monteith.
All four recommendations.
Okay. There's a motion by Monteith.
Second.
Second by Chiesa. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Okay, and this brings us down to correspondence.
This board has received from the Delta Stewardship Council a notice of availability of a recirculated draft program environmental impact report for the Delta Plan and the Delta Stewardship Council notice of proposed rulemaking.
Refer to Department of Public Works, the Department of Environmental Resources, and the Agricultural Commissioner and Civil Waste and Measures. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, I neglected last week to wish our chairman a happy 40th birthday, and that now makes me 39, the youngest man on the board.
Youngest one on the board. Happy about that? Back in November before Thanksgiving. Any other Board of Supervisor reports? How about a legislative fiscal management report?
I do, Chair. On the state side of the House, 13 members of the Central Valley County sent a letter to the governor requesting the change in the allocation of AB 109 funds. The rumored $50 million in potentially increases in sales tax at the state level in regards to growth funds for AB 109 will not be allocated until after the close of the 2012-2013 fiscal year. The Department of Finance will decide how these funds are distributed to counties. There will be no application process to secure these funds, so there might be some opportunities for the Central Valley counties that ended up receiving reduced formulas as a result of the 12-13 and the 13-14 proposed allocation for AB 103, that this board approved a resolution in early November to support that change in the formula. The new legislative class has been sworn in. Between two houses, 8 constitutional amendments have already been proposed. There is also an effort to downsize the 2014 water bond. The legislature has adjourned until January 7th. The special session on health care has not been called yet. The remainder of December is expected to be rather quiet. On the federal side, leadership level members and staff discussions continue in regards to figuring out some kind of legislative resolve when it comes to the fiscal cliff. There are some discussions that may be additional infrastructure funds available for specific projects. Our federal lobbyist has already reached out to our local public works director and CEO staff to get some shovel-ready projects available in the event there are some available funds for this effort. There's also indication there is discussion in to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act, which is called, often referred to as VAWA, which authorizes programs and administration costs from the Office of Violence Against Women. VAWA is set to expire, unfortunately, at the end of December. There appears to be bipartisan interest in passage of this bill before year end. And that concludes it.
Very good. We do have a closed session, County Council.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have closed session for conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision A, involving one case, Leslie Cook versus Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 660775. We do not expect to report out of closed session.
This meeting is adjourned to closed session.